Welcome back to Consider This with me, Melissa Idris and Ibrahim Sani. Tonight, we're speaking to Datuk Dr. Raiz Hussein from MR Research as well as Datuk Sri Jabadin Muhammad Yunus, lawyer with Jabadin & Co. Just before the break, Raiz, you gave a long list of things, lots to unpack there, and I'd like to get the comments of Datuk Sri Jabba. How would you respond to this, you know, anger management that the Perikatan Nasional need to manage, essentially, to dissipate?
Okay. Now, firstly, since 1980s, I've been saying that, there have been a lot of anger in politics. And increasingly, up to now, more and more rakyat are angry with the politicians. So now we come to this situation, how to manage anger at this juncture. Now, the question is, what anger? The anger which I see is that people are saying that there's a backdoor government, for instance. That's what they're saying. The question is there a backdoor government? As a time, we can go on analysing it until the cows come home. But the most important thing would be, if the current set of government can address the fundamental issues, which Dr. Rai has already addressed, I think that takes care of everything. Because I believe that the normal rakyat on the street, they're more concerned with fundamental bread and butter issues. That is the most important thing. The rest are all games which are played by the political elites and their friends and cronies.
In the MA research, there was some hierarchy of importance amongst rakyat, what they feel, you know, they care.
What they're most concerned about, right?
Number one is whatever the food issue, stomach economy. Number two is, I don't know, judiciary, you name it, right? When we talk about the 41% just now that Dr. Raiz alluded to, I don't know what the polls say, but I would assume that integrity of government, the ability for you to set up reforms, agenda, and many others would rank highly, if not, you know, top three, could be the very highest thing. Is this reflected in your research?
I think in terms of the top five or so, it is more the tummy economy. Mm. And then come close is
so in that case it's the same as
correct.
Well.
Correct. And then come close to it is all these issues of integrity, corruption, this and that. And as you remember, we came up with a National Worry Index, and which we map against certain. It's a very scientifically arrived at index, and we try to Google search whether there was a similar National Worry Index anywhere. And we found that the National Satisfaction Index, ada. But National Worry Index, no. And we had seven professors who were working on this. And when we found out what is the score, it was 0.77. This was the last quarter, last year. 0.77. What does that mean? Maximum worry. Already in the last quarter, the people in Malaysia, their worry level is maximum. This is bad. Based on what? So these are the things that I always talk about.
When are you going to release the National Worry Index for first quarter 2020?
Okay, great. We have just completed. The analysis is being done. We expect it to be out on April 15 because we always conclude after the first quarter of each quarter, then the 15 days.
So it would cover this period as well, right?
Correct. And the analysis have just started because we've completed the data gathering and so on. I can say that from the early, what was earlier
early
summary, whatever was, it's even worse than before. And I'm not surprised. Why? Look at our economy situation. Right? We have four main issues now that is playing globally. Not many people are focusing on this. These are real issues, which has direct correlation to our economy. Number one, America. They are going into recession in either second quarter this year or definitely third quarter. That's bad for us because they are one of the largest trading partners that we have. We have China. China, we have two issues. Mostly people talk about coronavirus, which is a fact. The second issue that is quite recessive, quite hidden, is the $2 trillion domestic debt bubble in China. If that bursts, it will be a horrifying impact in the global economy. Then you have post-Brexit EU issues. Then you have India with the demonetization and the current religious, ethno-religious And that's badly affecting the economy of India. Guess what? All these four territories are in our top 10 trading nation. This is going to end again in Malaysia.
Top five, actually.
Top five. And they are there. How is it going to impact us? Have we built the domestic resiliency of the economy? Did we? I don't think so. That is going to be a big problem. Because of the political instability and impasse, Monday, we lost 43 billion ringgit in this very building, stock exchange.
Well, yeah. The stock market's going to open tomorrow morning.
And let me tell you, Tuesday, we regained 20 billion. Then onwards, we've been losing and we are level at 2008 levels. Tomorrow, if this impasse continues, and I think there will be some still voices of dissent, this and that, which is pretty all right, but this is going to continue affecting our economy. And guess what? When you talk about stock exchange, it's just one of the things. But
yes,
guess what? It is not just the stock market. The companies are affected. Employment is going to be affected. There will be right sizing done.
Right.
People are going to lose jobs.
I want to focus a little bit on, you literally just touched upon the point that I want to talk about, which is corporate earnings. Plenty. It was rather hilarious because I do look at corporate earnings all the time. And while the drama was unfolding last week, all the corporates were also issuing their own corporate earnings. And it wasn't a pretty picture.
But it got buried under the noise.
See, so lucky for the corporate executives on all these corporates. But generally speaking, corporate Malaysia was earning lesser than they did in 2018. With broad strokes, there were some differences in between. Now, with that against the backdrop and with this, national worry index that you speak of and all these things that are brought into the picture, now I'm not concerned about the dissent. I'm going to be focused on the appointment on the governance level. Who is going to be the next Deputy Prime Minister? Who's going to be the next
Finance Minister?
Will there still be a Minister of Economic Affairs? Will there be a Minister of, say, Sarawak Affairs or Sabah Affairs that will look into the MA63? All these appointments, right? Mm. It's going to be extremely crucial. I can't even understate this or overstate this even more. It's going to be critical. What do you think is going to happen in the next few days when Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin is going to sit down with his partners and look at, with the matter of the fact and say, you know what, guys, I know we did this whole horse trading affair for the past week, but really we've got to hire technocrats, we've got to hire people that have been in the business for long, we can't hire politicians for these kind of jobs. What do you think, Datuk Jabar?
Well, obviously, the rakyat will be looking at the structure of the cabinet, obviously. And obviously also the rakyat is going to evaluate whether or not the cabinet is going to be reflective of the concern of the politicians and the Prime Minister for the current problems faced by the country as outlined by Dr. Raiz just now. Mm. Or is it just going to be another political government? So that's what they're going to look at. So if the next 2 years or the remaining years until PRU 2015 is going to be good for the country in terms of economics and political stability, I think what's going to happen the next 1 week, the cabinet formation is going to be very critical, very important. I think that would be the short answer to it. Yes.
Okay. Any guesses to the Deputy Prime Minister, Shah?
Are you in the running?
No, please. I'm not a politician. My appeal to not only to Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, who is the Prime Minister now, my appeal is also to all the coalition partners that keeps on talking about demi agama bangsa dan negara. And I really hope they meant demi agama bangsa negara, not demi aku, aku dan aku. If they really mean it, genuinely, sincerely, then they should stop this political accommodation of cabinet appointment. They should get the best among the best, even among the political parties and the MPs. Now, they are good people, good mix of people, even among the MPs. Professional, well-educated, have good, no fake degrees, have good, academic background, have done on their own, get them. Then get some technocrats in. Because hard times, difficult times, you need to think out of the box to get it done. Give that latitude to the Prime Minister. Do not put him in a corner and say, look, you are Prime Minister today because of me.
Right.
And therefore, you need to give me this.
But hasn't that always been the nature of Malaysian politics?
We have to change that, Melissa.
The coalition, you have to give, you have to reward winning the elections or horse trading. You have to reward with ministerial positions or the like. Isn't that just the nature of Malaysian politics? Can we expect it to change?
Melissa, this is extraordinary time. We need to do extraordinary things. If it is going to be same old, you have angry people. And then you do same old, same old. Tomorrow, you appoint someone who is facing a corruption case in the court, for instance, as a minister of defense, for instance. I'm not saying that is going to happen. For instance, what would people say? Mm. We need to be very, very careful here. So my view is that, please, all politicians, give the latitude, work towards reviving the economy, reinventing the economy. Fourth industrial revolution has come.
Understood completely. You know, if I could interrupt you with a comment from perhaps Dr. Sri Jaba. You know, you founded the movement Rakyat Penyelamat Negara, right? So,
Rapera.
Can you comment on the backlash? Let's just say, if the cabinet formation is not one that can please everyone, no one will be absolutely happy with every pick of minister. In terms of the optics, in terms of the backlash, how would the new Perikatan Nasional Administration... sorry, it's only been a week. Sorry. How would this new administration deal with this, perhaps the backlash of the unhappy folks?
Okay. Now, first of all, of course, it is impossible to please everyone.
Sure.
Okay, I think what the new Prime Minister should be looking at is to come up with a reliable cabinet. And I use the word reliable very generously. What's reliable? Reliable is one that can somehow satisfy certain important political requirements. Right. I mean, I have an idealistic yardstick, but I understand that to implement it, you require some political thing. But that political satisfaction should not override the what I call the experts, those who are capable. Now, as Dr. Rais pointed out, there are within the bigger caucus of members of parliament qualified people. Now, you can pick from there. And where you can't, then you must be creative enough, generous for the rakyat to pick people from outside and make them senators, for instance. So what I'm saying is, while the rakyat does not expect any government, political government, to leave politics aside completely, the rakyat will be totally disgusted, for instance, if the new government was to allocate important ministries to politicians just to reward politically. And that would be just too much.
Mm. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back to consider this. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.